Let's talk about a very unusual incident in the Bible. In the conclusion of 2 Samuel chapter number 18, we'll look down at verse number 19, and it goes on to the end of the chapter. And it's, you know, you just kind of wonder sometimes why the Holy Spirit puts things in the Scriptures, just because of you're like, well, I don't know if they even need to be in there. Well, it does, and there's a reason to it. So look, if you will, in verse number 19, though, in chapter number 18 of 2 Samuel, verse number 19, it said, Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then Joab said to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. And then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate of the wall, and lifted up his eyes, and behold, looked, and behold, a man running along. And the watchman cried and said, told the king, and said, the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace, and he drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh that the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he's a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king, and he said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, that when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside, and he stood still. And behold, Cushai came. Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God that I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for that blessed thought about how that we are yours, and that we run the race as we run, and Lord, that we may just honor you in everything that we do tonight. And I pray, God, even when the news is good, when the news is bad, may we continue to have in our hearts to run and tell the good news of how there's victory in Jesus, even to those that it may confuse, even to those it may hurt, even to those it may not understand. I pray, God, you'd just give us wisdom, and I pray you'd give us your blessings. I pray you'd just give us the heart touch tonight. Thank you again for the good words of testimony. Thank you for the songs. Everything that you've done tonight, we thank you and we praise you for it. Now, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this little thought, if you will, as we study this. This title of this message is that you're to run, but you're supposed to run wisely. Run, but run wisely. Now, that's the idea behind this whole little section, if you will. If you'll think about it, There's got to be some wisdom. I want you to know something. There's people sometimes, and you'll see that there are people that, man, they want to, and they really sometimes have a real heart to do something for God, but they just don't know what in the world they're doing. They don't have any, I mean, they've got some zeal, but they're like the Bible talks about in the New Testament, Paul writes, they got some zeal without any knowledge. I mean, it's a good thing to be zealous. It's a good thing to have to want to do and go and work and bless and be a blessing to other people. But man, sometimes you need to just kind of look at yourself, look at what's going on, and figure out that you better listen to God first before you get busy doing anything. We all need some instruction. We all need some direction. We all need some wisdom in this thing. And you're going to see that as you look at these two men as they begin to run. So let's talk about running and running wisely. First of all, let's look at this idea as you begin to see the story here as it unfolds in those first few verses, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. As you look down through there, you see that there are two men that are involved in this situation of running. And I want you to realize this. First of all, I believe you and I, when we want to run, we need to learn to stay until we're commanded to do something. Amen? We're to stay kind of in our place. We're to stay in our lane. We're to stay where we're supposed to be until we're commanded. So you see the situation. Now we know that Absalom has died and that Joab's been the instrument of that, if you will. And he's taken his life and he realizes, Joab realizes, this is going to be a tough thing to tell the king. Well, obviously it'd be a tough thing to tell him, especially when the last thing that the king said to him and his commanders and probably the entirety of the troops could hear it was that you ought to go, and he said, deal gently with the young man Absalom. Well, as you remember from the story, Joab wasn't doing too much of gently dealing. He slew him as he got himself hung up in a tree and or thrust him through with some darts and then had his other men come through and finish him off. I mean, that's as gently as he's going to deal with him, because Joab understood that you better take care of the problem or it'll still be a problem when you don't finish it completely, right? So he takes care of David's problem, Absalom, but here comes the beyond that they've got to tell David. And there's Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, and he said, let me now run and bear the king tidings how the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. I mean, man, he's just all tore up about running. He's wanting to run. He's wanting to go carry some news. Do you know there's some people like that? There's people that will hear things. I mean, in the community or in a family or even sometimes in a church, and they can't wait to run and tell what they just heard, right? Something that, oh, let me tell you, I gotta tell you, whatever. Listen, sometimes you do very well, especially when it's something this important, when it's something this sensitive, when it's something that would be this tragic to King David, you better just stay till you're commanded to run. You see what David, or what Joab does? David is gonna be upset. David is gonna go to pieces. And Joab knows this. And he tells Ahimaaz, he says, look, you don't need to do this. He said, look, verse 20, he said, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. He didn't say he wasn't a good runner. He didn't say that he had failed in the job before or, you know, anything like that. He said, today, somebody else needs to carry the news. And Ahimaaz just can't understand that. He just don't get the message. Why can't I go? Because you don't need to go. Amen. Do you know that God sometimes tells me and you to just stay where you're at and keep your mouth shut sometimes? And you know what? We don't heed that message very well many times, do we? But here he tells him, he said, you don't need to go. He said, you can go some other day, but this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Now, I really think that Joab has in his mind, and if you'll think back, If you remember, when the news comes from a young man that had been around the scene somehow or other, we don't know exactly all the details of it, but he comes and he tells David, Saul, the king, is dead, and he brought him, if you remember, some of the stuff off of Saul's body. And David said, where'd you get that? He said, I was there when he died. Matter of fact, I might have had a little bit of something to do. You know, he was kind of like, and I thought I'd bring you the news. And David had him killed because, you know, he's bringing that news. And then if you'll also remember Ish-bosheth. He has two men that are his guards that kill him. He'd been the king in the northern tribes of Israel. And they run after they've killed Ish-bosheth, these two men. They run and tell David. You know what David does? David gets turned on them and has them both put to death. So Joab, maybe in his mind, all of this is running through. He's thinking, that boy don't need to run down there. David will kill him with this news comes to him. Him thinking, oh boy, look, I got some news. I got something I got to tell. I got to go do it. And he says, nope, don't you not run in today. But then I want you to notice that he does look at another young man in verse number 21. Then Joab said to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and he ran. Sometimes you need to just stay till you're commanded. Sometimes you need to just stop the conversation. I mean, here's Joab. Joab says, okay, young man, and it's a man by the name of Cushai, and the scholars say this man was an Ethiopian probably that was a servant or a slave, if you will, to Joab. And Joab said, you're going to be my runner, and I want you to run and tell this to you. Tell David what you've seen. And he's probably seen either the death of Absalom in those trees, or he saw the fact that they piled those stones on top of his grave. This guy has seen something. And as a matter of fact, there's probably a lot of them there. And Ahimaaz has probably seen all of this too. But he said, I want you to carry the message. So this young man gets ready and he leaves. If you'll notice what it says that he told him, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And he said, and Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and he ran. I mean, no back talk, no reasoning, no nothing. He just did, right? He just did. But look, and then it said, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever. He said, it don't matter what you told him. He said, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? You don't have any good news. You don't have nothing ready. You don't need to run. You ought to just stop all of your conversation. Isn't it amazing how people want to keep on and keep on and keep on? Hey, y'all ever been that kid or had kids like that? But daddy this, but daddy that, but I want to, but I want. And finally, hey, you just tell them sometimes, well, just go ahead then and see what it gets you. Amen? I mean, you need to sometimes. I'm telling you, when it comes to the Lord, when God tells you stuff, when God speaks to your heart, when God comes to you and says, you don't need to get into this, then the best thing you can do is stop your conversation and saying, I want to and I'm going to, and getting hard-headed and thick-headed, as we like to say many times. And I believe that that's where Ahimaaz is right now, as he's got into this thick-headedness that it don't matter. Look what it says there in verse number 22. Joab tells him, he said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no time? You don't have anything to tell. You ain't got no good news. But howsoever, said he, let me run. I just want to run. Well, do you know what you're running for? No, but I'm going to run. Anyway, amen? Isn't that a lot of folks like that? They like to run and tell. They like to run their mouth. They like to run stuff down. They like to run and make it bigger and better. I mean, they just like to run. I'm just going to run. He said, okay, run, take off. Whatever you think you want to do, go ahead. I mean, I guess Joab probably got tired of him. And he said unto him, run. You go ahead and run. And he said, and Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. I mean, look, we got to learn, you and I need to learn how to stand still and stay calm. I mean, the very best thing. The Bible tells us throughout, stand still and know that I'm God. I mean, be still many times, and being still is one of the best things that you and I can do. We have gotten so antsy in our day that we've got to be in a constant state of flux and motion. We've got to be doing something. We've got to be, Hey, I want to tell you, sometimes the best thing you can do is sit down, be still, and listen and wait on God. Amen? That's the very best thing you can do. But you know, it's just not in us many times. I mean, you ever get up like that? Like I told you, we'll do this sometimes. She'll look at me, I'll be in the kitchen. She'll say, what are you hunting? And I say, I don't know. But I've opened every cabinet drawer or cabinet door. I've pulled out every drawer. I've looked in the refrigerator. We got two fridges. I've looked in both of them. I'm hunting around. What do you want? I don't know. I'm just doing something to be doing something, apparently. Y'all sit there, flip through them channels. I'm telling you, on the TV, there's probably 400 channels. You know what we do? Look at each other and say, ain't nothing on TV to watch. we think we've got to be in a constant state of something, doing something, going something, you know, whatever. We just get ourselves into that state. Sometimes you just need to be still. Just have a stillness. Stand still. Be calm and wait and see what the Lord has to say for you. What did he say over there? They that wait upon the Lord, over in the book of Isaiah, he said, they that wait shall renew their strength. Sometimes you just need to sit still. You just need to get calm. You just need to come before God's presence and calm yourself and let the Lord do the talking and you and I do the listening. Amen? That would benefit us so much more. I mean, sometimes we're like a hemios here. I just want to run. What are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there, but I'm going to run anyway. There was already somebody running that knew what to do. So first of all, you see the want to run. But second of all, look at this fact as you see David, as it tells you in verse number 24. And David sat between the two gates. In other words, there's an entrance to the city, and there are gates that open and close, as you and I would imagine. A couple of gates swing wide. And David is sitting there between them because he wants to know what is the result of all that's happened. David is anxious. David is waiting behind. And now something begins to happen. I mean, first of all, you see the king sitting. David is there, and as I say, the Bible tells us that he sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate of the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was running, and it says that he was running alone. He saw one man, and he saw him running alone. You see the king sitting. But then I want you to notice we do see the king searching. David is looking for something. David is expecting something out of this battle, and he wants to hear what has happened and what's going on. Now, I think it's real interesting the way that David looks at this whole thing. Notice what it says. Here's David sitting, and it says, here's the watchman. There's a man above him that has an advantage of being above everybody on a wall, looking out down the distance. And it says, the watchman cried in verse number 25. And he told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there's tidings in his mouth. And he came apace, and he drew near. David says, hey, the guy tells him, there's somebody coming. And it looks like he's running by himself. And David said, well, I think that's a good thing. If this guy's running by himself, he's got some tidings. And I know down on the inside of David's heart, he's thinking, it's going to be good news. Because that's what David wants to hear, right? David's sitting there and he's, oh, listen, it's got to be good. And then look what it says in verse 26. And the watchman saw another man running. Now remember, we've got Ahimaaz, and he has run. I want to tell you about these two guys. Ahimaaz has taken the lower path, if you will, and it had less problems, and it was a plane, it was a better way, if you would, really thinking about it. But it says that Cushai ran in another route. He took the hard route, if you will. He took the tougher route. He had to go through a tough terrain. He had to run through some stuff that were obstacles and problems. And here's a Ahimaaz, and he's taken a lower path, and he's outrun the first runner. So the king's looking, and he hears the man say, there's one, now see another. And in 26, he says, and the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. In other words, at first he thought, well, we got one guy. I mean, that's pretty good news. We got another guy, and perhaps he's just kind of doubling up on good news. And David's sitting there thinking this thing through, and he's searching for his answer. You ever done that before? You ever sat there and tried to reason through what's going on and say, this has got to be good? Oh, listen, you know, I mean, that doctor wouldn't have called on the phone if he hadn't been for me to have some good news. Yeah, well, your bubbles got busted before, right? Oh, well, that job interview thing, they've called me back. That's got to be good news. And your bubble can get busted, right? I mean, you can have some things, and you try to reason it and see it and search through it with your thinking, with your heart on what you wanted on. And it don't always turn out that way. But David's sitting here thinking, well, I don't see an army come running. Because if our men had been defeated, if Absalom has defeated my army and my men, we'd see some of them come running back to the gates of the city. They come back here. Oh, so this has got to be good news, what we're seeing. Something good's going to be told when they get here. And look what he says. Verse 27, the watchman said, methinketh. Boy, that's something we don't say too much anymore. Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, oh, this is getting better. He's a good man and cometh with good tidings. He said, oh, man, I'm glad it's him. You know why? Because he has brought David the word before when all of this was getting started. This young man and another young man that was a priest's son, they both came running and they gave David the news that Absalom was gaining his, grouping up his troops to come after David. He came and gave them, and David said, oh man, if it's him, it's gotta be good news. But look what he says. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And really, if you think about that, that is just sort of a basic greeting. Really, in the Hebrew, it is the word shalom. Shalom. And really, it's, you know, as I say, kind of a greeting type thing. Like you and I might say, how you doing? Everything going good? How you doing? You know, that sort of thing. Shalom means peace or peaceably. And that's what David here, and again, David's thinking, boy, this thing's getting better. It's getting better and better. And then he says, he fell down upon the earth, to the earth, upon his face before the king. And he said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my Lord the king. David is not wanting to hear anything at this time about the battle. David doesn't care about the battle. David don't care if Joab won or if Absalom's troops won. All he wants to know is about his son Absalom. Listen to what he says. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? That's all I want to know. Is Absalom safe? That's my only question. But I want you to notice, and Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. Boy, it's tough when you run and you ain't got no news. He had some news, but all of a sudden he had to swallow the news that he knew. Ahimaaz tells a lie. Because he knows, Joab had just said it, you don't need to run, you don't need to get, you don't have anything good to say, and the king's son is dead. Wait till another day when there's some good news, but you don't need to run today. And Ahimaaz has got so much, oh, I want to run, I want to run, I want to get down there, I want to run, I want to tell this story. And he gets there, and what does he do? He lies. I mean, he just tells a lie. Because he looks at the king and he understands then how important all of this is to David to hear that his son is okay. And he said, well, I was there and I saw there's a big to-do, but I don't know what happened. And as a matter of fact, as I say, that's a lie. But look what it says. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and he stood still. What he should have done in the first place when Joab was talking to him, now David has commanded him, and that's what he's doing. And listen, and the king said, verse 31, and behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom saved? That, he don't care. He don't care about the battle. He don't care about the war. And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. In other words, he's gone, he's dead, and all of your enemies that were with him have died with him. And that's not what David wanted to hear. And you see the king sorrowing. And it says, and the king was much moved. You see that little phrase there? It says, much moved. It really means that David began to shake and tremble. And he was so shattered by that news. He was so upset and so torn by all of that news. And he went up to the chamber over the gate. Up over the gate of the city, there was a room that was used probably by those men that were guards. And David went up there, the Bible says, and that he wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God that I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son. You see David in a place of sorrowing. The mighty king has been brought down. And you see, you know, we all know what this all is. This is the saddest news that could come to David this day. I mean, this is the sad thing of this. I mean, that's, man, and I want to tell you something. You think about this. We'll say in the end here, let's talk about wasting the race. I mean, here's Ahimaaz, and he's wanting to run. Here's Cushai, he's commanded to run. But all of the news that either one of them could give was not good news to David. You remember we talked about before about the king, about David being the king, and about David having some leadership and being in the place of leadership. And sometimes in the place of leadership, you've got to put all of those other people, all of the nation, all of the folks that would be under your kingdom work and all the things that you're trying to establish and build as a kingdom, and you've got to do something for them. And David, through his emotions, has let this very thing betray him. He's worried more about his son than he is about his soldiers. He's worried more about the outcome. And I got it. I got it. He's a daddy. He's a daddy that no doubt, I was reading some things on this, and one commentator said this, that it may have been that Absalom was his favorite son. He might have looked at him and said, this is Absalom. After Amnon has died, his probably oldest son, I think it is his oldest son, and committed the sin with Tamar, and Absalom killed him, and all that stuff. Hey, here's Absalom, and he's growing up, and David's looking at him. David's looking at that young little boy and that flowing hair and that smiling face and that winning personality. And he said, boy, this is the guy. He can probably be the next king. He's probably next. Oh, just look at him. But as he grew older and older, something changed in Absalom. His heart turned in a wicked way. And he wasn't that sweet little kid that David. But David was still his daddy. And David still loved him. And And I'm just telling you, sometimes when you realize where you are in some of these situations, you got to understand that God knows what he's doing a whole lot better than what you and I wish, what you and I hope, what you and I want the outcome to be. So sometimes there's a wasted energy in that. And then, as I say, we're going to talk about wasting the race. I want you to notice, as you look at these two men that are running the race, Ahimaaz and Cushai, we'll say that Ahimaaz was the one that simply babbled and rambled. I mean, all he did is run his mouth. All he did is talk and talk out of turn, talk out of place. In other words, you know, he did a whole lot more talking than he did listening. He just rambled on. I don't care how it turns out. I don't care what happened. I don't care. Brother, can I tell you, sometimes you need to wake up and care. Amen? Even though he said two times there, he said, well, just howsoever. I don't care what all this leads to. I'm not concerned. I just want to run. Can I tell you, that's no reason. You're just wasting the race when you do that. You're wasting your energy. You're wasting everybody's time. You're wasting something that could be going on good and right in your life by just doing whatever you think is what you want to do. And he wasted the race. He babbled and he rambled. But don't you notice this? There was one by the name of Cushai, and what does it say that he did? When Joab told him, in verse 21, Joab said to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab, and he ran. You hear a word out of him? No. He just simply listens to what he's supposed to do, and he does. He bowed before Joab as his commander, and he got up and he ran the race. Can I tell you, we need to be more like him and less like Ahimaaz. We need to quit talking. We need to quit telling God. We need to quit trying to explain things away. We just need to say, yes, Lord, and take off and run in the way that God says run. Amen? I mean, that's what the Lord's looking for out of our lives. But we got a young man here in Ahimaaz that he just babbles and rambles and goes on. Let me tell you this. There was simply one thing that was the business and the report of the day. They were to carry on with that business and that report. They're supposed to do, you know, as the old saying, you got one job, that's it. And you're supposed to do it, and you're supposed to do it right. And Cushai did the very best that the only thing that was asked of him. Matter of fact, when you think about this, just a few little lessons for us to learn out of it is this. First of all, you need to run your own race. You cannot run somebody else's race. Do you know this day, this was Cushai's race to run, and it wasn't for Ahimaaz to run. This was somebody else. Can I tell you, sometimes we get to wanting to run somebody else's race. Oh, let me do what they're doing. God didn't call you to do what they're doing. God didn't call you to be like them. God didn't call you to follow in those steps necessarily. God called you to do what God wants you to do. Amen? I know a lot of preachers, we hear them all the time say this, that, you know, when they first started preaching and they had a fellow that they looked up to, maybe their pastor or another preacher that impressed upon them some things. And you know, we all want to say, oh, I want to preach like so-and-so. Guess what? We can't. God don't need two of them. Whoever it is. I mean, it doesn't matter. Well, I want to preach like Billy Graham. God don't need two Billy Grahams. He needs me and me to do the things that he's called me. And it won't be Billy Graham. It won't be Billy Graham-like. It won't be, you know, as if another Billy Graham show. Hey, we don't need that. We just need to be ourselves. You can't run somebody else's race. There's nobody in this room. Hey, and there's Joab, and he said, look, today's not your day to be running and doing this. You've got something else. You need to just sit here, be still, and learn a while. You need to learn to have some wisdom in what you're doing. Amen? And that's for every one of us. As I said to start with, we call this run, but run wisely. You need to have some wisdom in what you're doing. I want you to notice this. You and I need to be runners. We need to learn to be runners. But first of all, you know what you need to be? You need to be a faithful runner. A faithful runner. As I said, you can't run somebody else's race. You just need to be faithful to what God wants you to do. Well, preacher, God ain't made no Sunday school teacher, no singer, no preacher, no this, no that, no the. No, he may not have. You know what he wants you to do? Be faithful in whatever he's called you to do. Whatever place he puts you. You remember what Paul said about the body? He said it takes all of us. We are different members, but we're all members of the same body. He said not everybody is an eyeball. He said if all of us, where would be the hearing? I mean, we're not all the same thing. God's got a special thing for all of you. And let me just tell you, amen? Hey, I mean, all you got to do sometimes is look around. Praise God for women in the church. Somebody say amen right there. Because I'm telling you, if it wasn't for women sometimes, our churches, and we have people say, well, the women need to learn their place. Let me tell you, men need to learn theirs and get up and come on and come to the front. Amen. How about that? Be a man. Amen. I mean, get up and do your job. That's what I think. Well,
you're going to meddling now.
Yeah, I guess. But anyway, we need everybody. Everybody is needed. That's part of the lesson from this, is that we're all needed. I mean, man, you got to be a faithful runner. Get in there and do whatever it is that God has called you to do. And listen, like Cushawa, be a runner that has something to say when you get there. I mean, here comes a hemi. Well, you got to say, well, I don't know. I was there, but I don't know what in the world's going on. Do you know that's the way a lot of us are? I want to tell you, that's the way our churches are a lot of times today. Our churches, what are y'all doing? I don't know. We just go to church. Well, what are you doing over there? We just go to church. That's all we do. We don't have a clue sometimes about what's going on down at the house of God, do we? I mean, you need to be faithful. You need to be responsible. We need to have something to say. We need to have something to say. And what I mean is you need to know what God has done for you and what he's called you to and what he's putting in you. I mean, you need to have something to say. You don't need to just be running around like Ahimeaz was here and just say, well, I'm running. I'm a runner. What do you do? I'm a runner down at the church. What do you run? I don't know. Amen? Hey, y'all ever been in some of them races? Them people get up and they go out here to wherever, different places, and man, they spend hours training. And they get ready, they go to a race, and they'll run a marathon, 26.3 or whatever that is, miles. And man, I'll tell you, now wouldn't it be foolish for me to get up Saturday morning, this Saturday morning, honey, I'm going to go run a marathon. You better call the ambulance now because he done lost his mind, right? I mean, if you're going to run, it's going to take some sensibility. She waved goodbye to me there and told me, go ahead. But wouldn't it be ridiculous for me to do that? You've got to be dumb to do it. But, you know, there's some people that get out there and try it. They'll get out there and try that and say, well, I hadn't trained, but I'm going to run this thing anyway. Hey, they talk about 5K, and that's about 4K more than I want, I'm telling you, whatever it is. Man, you have to get yourself into some conditioning and some kind of shape to be into that. Amen. Somebody said, well, round's a shape, so I guess it is. That's what I am. Amen. Well, anyway, you've got to be a runner that knows what to do and how to do and be conditioned into doing it. And then let me say this. You need to be a runner that has some wisdom. A runner that has some wisdom. I mean, here was Ahimeaz, and he acted in a real foolish way. I mean, he just didn't present things wisely. Now, Cushai knew the story and knew that it was bad news, but I believe he presented it in the most tactful way that he could. He didn't just blurt out and say, Absalom's dead, they killed him, or anything like that. But you notice what he did say? He said, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And through that, David understood that his son was dead. He understood that. It was done in wisdom. It was done in tact. It was done in the right way. And you know what? That day, Cushai was the right man to run that race. Amen. I don't know how your race is. I don't know how much that we think about some of these things sometimes, how much we ought to be doing. But I mean, you think about, here's David. David has lost. He's lost that baby boy that was born after Bathsheba birthed him. He's lost Amnon, his older son, and now he's lost Absalom, another son. And David is a broken man. And, I mean, there cannot be any good news when those things, but perhaps David is thinking about all those things that Nathan the prophet told him about where his sin would land him, and here he is. Oh, sometimes the news is not good. Sometimes, but you know what? The news still has to be delivered. Still has to come on. And I'm telling you, I can remember when I was a elementary school kid, and I remember in 1963, in December, when President Kennedy was assassinated. And I can remember being in that classroom and looking at teachers, and I saw them as they began to have concerned looks on their faces, and most of them, began to cry and weep, and I wasn't sure what was going on. Just being an 8-year-old or whatever at that time, wasn't very old, didn't know a whole lot about what it was, but I understood it was something pretty serious, and it meant something to them. And, you know, somebody had to deliver that news, and it was bad news, but they had to know. And I'm telling you, sometimes news comes, and we have to know. But aren't you glad God's got some faithful folks? Hey, when the good news of the gospel comes, it's bad news for us as sinners. And it breaks a lot of hearts, and it tears up a lot of feels of people, you know, feelings of people. But I'm glad. Thank God it winds up being good news when God saves us out of our sin. Amen. Thank God for the right kind of news and the right kind of messengers that can bring it tonight. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something, if you would.